What legacy will we leave the next generation? What is the America of tomorrow? Listen to Adrian Rogers.
What we've done in America is we have horizoned to God. We have limited God. We've made no room for God. We said, God, stay inside that circle. So in our government, the Ten Commandments are out, sex education's in. Chastity is out, birth control for teens is in. In our schools, the Ten Commandments are out, but metal detectors and policemen are in. We need to renew our memory.
And welcome to Love Worth Finding. Pastor, teacher, and author Adrian Rogers said, not only is God our greatest hope, God is our biggest threat. And the nation that was born in 1776 must be born again, or we will join the graveyard of the nations. America didn't just happen. America was a gift from God. However, it seems as though the virtues and values upon which this nation was built have been trampled. If we want to avoid the judgment given to the fallen nation in Psalm 78, we need to heed this ancient truth in today's world, following three practical steps. If you have your Bible, turn there now as we hear Adrian Rogers teach about the generation to come and the America of tomorrow.
Now God had blessed the nation Israel. God had delivered them from the gnawing and tormenting chains of slavery. And God had brought them into a good land. And God gave them a law. God gave them a land. God gave them a Lord. But what they did was to defile the land, deny the Lord, disobey the law, and judgment came to them. Now, Asaph the psalmist is giving some instruction to a nation like this, and I'm telling you there is a great parallel, and there is ancient truth for today's world. Three things I want to lay on your heart. Number one, we need to review our history. We need to review our history. Look, if you will, in verse 4. We will not hide them from their children, showing the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. That is, we need to show our children what God has done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them. What's He saying? Israel, look back. See what God has done. Review your history. Now, this passage of Scripture says a word to all you dads. All right, here's your assignment from Almighty God. You, sir, are to be a teacher of history. You have been appointed by God to be a teacher of history. A little boy came home from school and he looked sad. The father said, son, what's wrong? He said, I'm afraid I failed my history test. The dad said, no, he said, you're thinking negatively. Be more positive. He said, okay, I am positive I failed my history test. Now, I don't want you dads to be positive failures. You are to teach history. Spiritually, it is vitally important that we know our roots. If we don't teach the generation to come, then we've been cut off from our roots. The truth is, sirs, fathers, God holds you responsible to be a teacher of history. And our fate is to go from father to son to grandson. That's exactly what the Word of God says again. Listen, look in verse 5. For He hath established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. We are passing off the baton. There is a legacy that is to be left. It is to go from father to son to grandson and on and on and on in a spiritual chain reaction. A child came in and said, Mother, you remember that vase that we used to have? The one that was handed down from generation to generation? Well, this generation just dropped it. And I'm afraid that we have a generation that is in danger of dropping the faith that has gone from generation to generation. Fathers are to teach spiritual and national history. What is the history of America? The revisionists have tried to take it away from us. And so, fathers, according to this psalm, you are to teach those things to your children. You say, I don't know how to teach them. Go to our library. Go to our bookstore. There's plenty of material there that you need to take time. Turn off that television. Kids are watching television. They've gone to the computer. You're still watching the television. Your eyes are getting big as coconuts and your brain the size of a pea. Go to the bookstore and learn some things about our history. Listen, not only do we need to teach America's spiritual history, every family needs to write down its own spiritual history. Let me give you a project for families today. Write your family history, your spiritual history. Get the members of that family to write their testimony and put them in a book. And look back and see what God has done for our families. What a blessing it would be to have our own family history so we can teach that. You know, Bruce Wilkinson imagines a family reunion. And let's say that the mother and the father are celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. So those who've been married for 50 years are there. And they're in the place of honor. And the children and the grandchildren are there to honor these who've been married for 50 years. And those who've been married for 50 years, if they still are married, they love one another more devotedly now than they did when they got married. And so they're laughing and teasing and flirting one another. Now, the next generation is there. Some of them are what we call the boomers. And their children are there. These are those who are teens and early 20s. They're there at this family reunion. When those who are celebrating their golden wedding anniversary, the 50th wedding anniversary, were born, there were no televisions at all. Few people, if any, traveled on an airplane. Not all of them had automobiles, and many of them never thought about taking some of the trips that people will take today. About the way they got their information was the newspapers, the library, and an occasional book. Now, your generation, the boomers, now there were some changes that came along. Now, you were not raised with the shopping malls. You were not raised with the computers. You were not raised with cell phones. However, the television came along. However, college degrees came along. However, the space race did come along, and it gave you a sense of euphoria that we're entering into a bold new era. But what did you watch on television? You watched I Love Lucy, Father Knows Best, and these kind of things. What were your little goodies, the things that you enjoyed as a child? A transistor radio. Well, if you just had a transistor radio, you were something. But now what about your kids? What do they watch? They watch MTV. They watch HBO, Hell's Box Office, where nudity, profanity, vanity comes right, piped right into the living room. Your children, they sit around and talk with total strangers on computers about all kinds of subjects. They have been immersed in a rock and roll. They have been, quote, sexually liberated. There is a drug culture and a weak commitment to Jesus Christ. God is laughed and mocked and called out of bounds for this generation. Now, I want to ask you a question. What about the generation to come? What about their children? What is happening in America? I'm not against progress, but much that we call progress is not progress. I'm saying that we need to study the history of our nation. I'm saying you need to remember the history of your family. I am saying, ladies and gentlemen, also that we need to remember our church history. Churches need to remember their roots because, friend, if you get away from the roots, before long the fruit will wither and die. We have to teach the generation to come. I'll tell you something else. Individuals need to study their history. They need to understand what God has done. When your little children come to Jesus Christ, and they ought to, don't think that a child has to have a PhD in sin before he or she can get saved. It's normal, it's natural for little children to come to Christ when they're raised in a Christian home. Now, when they come to Christ, however, help them to understand their history. Write it down, rejoice over it. And every year, not only let them have a natural birthday, but a supernatural birthday. Honey, this was the day when you got saved. Let's thank God. Write it in a book. Let that child remember that he has a history. The devil wants to get us away from our heritage. And so I'm saying the first point is we need to review our history. That's what he's saying. Look at it again. The Bible says, and we will not hide them from our children, showing to the generation to come the praises of our Lord and his strength and his wonderful works which he hath done. Number two, not only do we need to review our history, but my brothers and sisters, we need to renew our memory. It is so easy to forget. Why do we do this? Look, if you will, in verse 7. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his way and forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. Now here God is saying, don't forget. Review your history. Renew your memory. Renew your memory. Don't forget how easy it is to forget the blessings of Almighty God. The Bible says here that the children of Ephraim, being armed, look in verse 9, and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. Now Ephraim was the dominant tribe. It may have been the strongest, the most numerous, but they were defeated. They had excellent military equipment. They were carrying bows, but they were defeated. Why? They forgot. And America today is suffering from spiritual amnesia. We have failed in history. We have those today who want to rewrite our history. There are three memory killers. Ephraim suffered from all three, and America is suffering from all three. First of all, the lust of the flesh. Fast forward to verse 17 in this psalm and look at it. And they sinned yet more and more against him, provoking the Most High in the wilderness. Do you know America is provoking God? America is sticking its finger in the eye of God. And they tempted God, that is, they tested God in their heart by asking meat or food for their lust. Yea, they spake against God and they said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Now, rather than thanking God for his blessings, they are mourning more and more the lust of the flesh. America is suffering today from an erosion of spiritual virtues and values. Sexual permissiveness, the blatant parading of perversion, the continual and casual disposal of the unborn and unwanted, the breakup of the family, the obsession with self and pleasure and drugs and sex. America is rolling in luxuries. But we're reveling in excesses, reeling in drunkenness, rotting in morals and in sin. Now, there was the lust of the flesh that caused Ephraim to forget. Number two, there was the lure of the world. Look in verses 40 and 42. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Not only do we break God's law by provoking him, we break God's heart by forgetting him, grieve him in the desert. Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not his hand, nor the day he delivered them from the enemy. How quickly we forget. They remember not. We need to renew our memory. Now, this verse says they limited the Holy God of Israel. Now, wait a minute. God is God. How can anyone put a governor on God? How can anyone limit God? This word they limited is the word we get our word horizon from. They horizoned God. Now, if you go to a high place and look around, you'll see a circle. And a circle is the horizon. And what they've said to God, now, this is your limit. You stay in here. Don't get beyond the horizon. Don't get beyond what we can see. What we've done in America is we have horizoned God. We have limited God. We've made no room for God. We've said, God, stay inside that circle. So in our government, the Ten Commandments are out, sex education's in. Chastity is out, birth control for teens is in. In our schools, the Ten Commandments are out, but metal detectors and policemen are in. We need to renew our memory. Now, not only did they forget because of the lust of the flesh, and not only the lure of the world, but the lies of the devil. Look in verse 58. They provoked him to anger with their high places and moved him to jealousy by their graven images. They forgot the one true God who founded them as a nation, and now they're worshiping false gods. Peter Jones has written a book. The title of the book is this, The Gnostic Empire Strikes Back. I want to give a quotation from that book. Have you asked yourself any of the following questions? Why is homosexuality on the rise with great moral fervor and in the name of democracy? Why is feminism such a powerful force today? Why is feminist spirituality making enormous inroads into Christianity? Why is abortion a vitally important part of the feminist manifesto? Is ecology just a natural concern about the survival of the planet? Or does it too have a religious agenda? Why is the work ethic no longer working? Why is multiculturalism and political correctness so important on many college campuses? Are these seemingly disconnected issues related in any way to the so-called New Age movement? Why are numerous New Age spiritual techniques for healing, peace of mind, and self-knowledge being publicized so vigorously in the media and more utilized in the business world and the armed forces? The real question is this. Are these apparent disconnected issues really a part of a coherent pagan ideology poised to impose its religious belief system on the New World Order, the Age of Aquarius, in the 21st century? Now, we need to wake up. We need to review our history. We need to review our memory. And then we must reclaim our legacy. Look in verses 59 through 61, if you will, of this same chapter. When God heard this, he was wroth and greatly abhorred Israel. Now remember Israel, his chosen people. So that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent which he placed among men, and delivered his strength into captivity and his glory into the enemy's hand. America may become a molded crust in history's garbage can. Not only is God our only hope, God is our biggest threat. And the nation that was born in 1776 must be born again, or we will join the graveyard of the nations. Now ask ourselves this question, what about the generation to come? What about America of tomorrow? What will it be like if we fail to turn to God? What will it be like if this generation does not say, enough is enough? I read a story, it deeply moved me. Back in World War II, there were some French who were taken captive by the Germans. The Germans took these French and made them work in a munitions factory building bombs. And with the bombs, they knew the bombs that they were building would be dropped on their own French brothers and sisters, on their own soil. They were building bombs to drop on their own people. But when the German Luftwaffe would fly over and drop those bombs, the bombs that were meant to explode on impact would just bloop, fall there and not explode. Another bomb, bloop, wouldn't explode. Another, blip, wouldn't explode. After a while, they said there can't be that many duds. And some of the experts got one of these bombs and began to dismantle it to find out why they were not exploding. And inside they found a note in every one of them. The French had built in a malfunction in these bombs. And here's what the note said. We are doing the best we can with what we've got, where we are, every chance we get. I want to tell you this, friend. I'm only one man, but I want to do the best I can where I am with what I have, with every chance I get. If we do that, we can change this nation. There are enough Christians in America, if they will wake up and do right, if they will review their history, if they will renew their memory, they can reclaim their legacy. Now, America won't save you. America won't get you to heaven. It would be a terrible thing for you to live in a God-blessed land and then die and go to hell. You need Jesus Christ. You need to be saved. If we need God in America, how much more do you need God in your heart? You need to be born again. And if you're not saved, let me lead you in a prayer. And today, in this prayer, you can pray and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. And I promise you, on the authority of the Word of God, He will forgive every sin. He will cleanse your heart. He will give you new power. And when you die, He will take you immediately, directly to heaven. But the minute you trust Jesus, you will be instantaneously saved and eternally secure if you really, truly receive Him as your personal Lord and Savior. Would you pray this prayer? Pray it from your heart. Dear God, I am a sinner. My sin deserves judgment, and I face judgment, but I need mercy. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You paid my sin debt with Your blood on the cross. Thank You for dying for me. I believe You were raised from the dead by the power of God. You promised to save me if I would trust You. I do trust You today, now, with my heart forever. Come into my heart. Forgive my sin. Save me, Lord Jesus. Pray it from your heart. Pray it and mean it. Save me, Lord Jesus. Did you ask Him? Did you? Then by childlike faith, pray this way. Thank You for doing it. I believe You've done it, and that settles it. I'm not looking for a sign. I'm not asking for a feeling. I stand on Your word. Now, Lord Jesus, give me the strength to make it public. Don't let me be ashamed of You. I'll make this public because I'm sincere. In Your name I pray. Amen.
And if you've prayed and given your heart to Christ today, we would love to celebrate with you. Go to our Discover Jesus page at lwf.org/radio. You'll find answers there you may have about your newfound faith, as well as a response section where you can share with us your decision or how this message impacted you. Just go to lwf.org/radio and click Discover Jesus at the top of the page. Welcome to God's family. We can't wait to hear from you today. Now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message on CD, call us at 1-877-LOVE-GOD and mention the title, The Generation to Come and the America of Tomorrow. You'll receive the entire lesson on your single CD. This message is also part of the powerful series, Whatever Happened to the American Dream? If you'd like the complete collection, all 7 insightful messages, call us at that number, 877-LOVE-GOD, or go to lwf.org/radio to order, or write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. Well, thanks for joining us today. And for the sake of the next generation, repent and turn to God today. We have to do the best we can with what we've got every chance we get. And be sure to join us next time for more profound truth simply stated right here on Love Worth Finding. Before we leave you today, I want to share a message we received from a friend on Facebook who wrote, I am thirsty for the true gospel of Jesus, for the Word of God. Few preach it anymore, so I listen to Pastor Rogers to complement my reading and understanding of the Bible. Thank you. Here at Love Worth Finding, it's our great honor to provide resources to help you grow in your faith. And this month, as a thank you for your generous support, we want to send you our new Journey of Faith booklet collection. Each journey has a beginning, and once you start, you need to be prepared. In this booklet collection from Adrienne Rogers' Messages, you'll find peace that only God can provide. You'll learn that He desires everyone to be saved and trace the story of redemption throughout the Bible. Request this bundle when you call with a gift right now at 1-877-LOVE-GOD. Or you can give online at lwf.org slash radio.